CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Multidimensional arrays that contain structures. According to Cold Fusion, this is a boot camp topic. At the end of this, I think you're going to be saying this is not a boot camp topic. It's a little more involved. Some of these things we will talk about are boot camp-ish, but some of them are much more advanced. Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit about me. My name is Curtis. I own a company in Boise, Idaho. I generally write applications for the state of Idaho. The state of Idaho, being a government entity, is slow to adapt to new technology, so we are still on Cold Fusion 5, and as they are my main client, 90% of my applications are Cold Fusion 5, finally getting them to go to Cold Fusion 7. There's a couple things in here, like my wife says, I like to talk, and I'm sure you guys have heard this morning. I think she ought to know, because she likes to talk more than me. I'm not one of those people that have a whole lot of time to delve into how Cold Fusion does something. So we're going to be talking about structures, and if you ask me, well, why doesn't a structure go first in, first out? I don't know. I just know you put in a value into a structure and it comes out, but not necessarily in the same order. Don't know why, it just works that way. So what we're going to discuss in this class are structures and arrays. I'm going to, first of all, create a single dimensional array. That's pretty basic. Show you how to populate it. I'll create a two-dimensional array and show you how to populate that too. And then I'll create a structure and show you how to populate that. I'll show you how to put data in, how to get data out. And then I'm going to start combining all these things together, and that's where the boot camp stuff kind of goes to the background. It gets a little more complicated about halfway through this. Okay, it gets a lot more complicated. That's why I call it a complex structure. If you have questions, by all means, stop and ask me. I don't think there'll be too many as we start through this, but they will get a little more complicated as we go. We're going to loop through this complicated container, and this container is, like I mentioned earlier, a multidimensional array that contains a multidimensional array that contains a structure. I'll show you how to loop through that, and then I pass all that data to another processor. I'll show you how to get that too. I also have this application. I wrote a small application that I'll post on my website so you can download it and look at all of the code if you want to. It's not there right now. I just noticed this afternoon that I copied all the data from an existing application from the state of Idaho, and I really don't think I want to give you that data. I have to go and FUBAR it up just a little bit. I'll try to answer as many questions as I can. And remember one thing, there are many, many ways to do the same thing in Cold Fusion. This is just one. I don't know if it's the best way, I don't know if it's the worst way, it's just the way I solved a particular problem. And it's pretty good for demonstration purposes too. And I really thought it was pretty cool. I just did. Okay, the one-dimensional array, it's a real simple structure. It looks an awful lot like this. It's sort of like a named list that you reference by sequential integers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can skip an integer, but it is not advisable. When you start looping through that, and if you don't have record 2 in there, it's going to squawk when you try looking for record 2. You're going to have a little bit of an error. To show you what this looks like, I have, to show you how to populate it, this is the code that you would put inside your actual template. You'd use a CF tag or a CF set tag. In this case, I'm kind of a rocker fan, so I like Aerosmith. I'm going to create a single dimensional array. One. Unix is 0, the rest of the world is 1. And I don't know why Unix counts at 0. Don't know. I just know they do. Say what? Oh, okay. Well, we start at 1. Cold Fusion starts at 1. So we're gonna first of all define our array, and we're gonna call it Aerosmith, good name. And then we're gonna start populating values in here. Usually you will loop through a query or something like that to populate your array. In this case, I'm just gonna set Aerosmith 1 equals Tom. Aerosmith 2, Joe, Brad, Joey, Steven, so on and so forth. Notice the integers are sequential. The referencing of the array name is sequential, very important. So when I come over here, let's see, what's the next one? I'll show you how to loop through it too now. And the reason that the sequential numbering is important is when I loop through my array, I want to start at 1. I'm going to loop from 1 to array length. In this case, our array is 5, and I know that because I populated it. But if I'm populating this from a query, I really might not know my array length. So I use this command right here where my mouse is, array length of Aerosmith. Cold Fusion uses this tag to tell you how long the array is, so you don't have to know that yourself. Thank you, I appreciate that. And then I'm just going to put a little output statement as I iterate through my loop. I'm just going to put output, I'm going to output Aerosmith, and then I'm going to reference what row number I'm outputting here, and then it equals what the value is. The output will look something like this, and I did mention I had a sample application, and this is the one-dimensional array. At the top, I populate it. This is the code that I use to loop through it, and this is the actual output right here. Pretty simple. Put stuff in, get stuff out. Pretty simple, right? So far, so good. You're with me, even after lunch? Okay, let's make it another dimensional, multi-dimensional array, make it just a little bit more complicated. Two-dimensional arrays. Well, most people have first names and last names, unless you're Madonna or Prince. So my array will now support first name and last name. The two-dimensional array you can kind of think of as a spreadsheet. It looks similar to it. It's referenced by rows and columns. When you reference your array, you always reference the row first and then the column. So what's the value of row 3, column 2? Whitford, right. That's pretty simple to follow. Well, when you write your code, you have to do the same thing. You have to populate it with referencing of row and of column. The first thing I do in this case is I set Aerosmith now equals array new, two-dimensional. Very important from one-dimensional. Now I'm telling my array that it is a multi-dimensional array. I have two dimensions. And like I said, this is all available for download too, so just so you're aware of that. As I populate the array, Aerosmith row 1, field 1 will equal Tom. Aerosmith row 1, field 2 will equal Hamilton, and so on and so forth. It's very important to remember you reference your array row first, then column. It's important when you put your data in that way. It's important when you get your data out. You remember that referencing. Now I'm going to loop through that array, and I'm going to loop through it pretty much the exact same way that I looped through my single-dimensional array. I am going to loop from 1 to the array length of Aerosmith. That loop command has not changed at all. Exact same thing. The only thing that's changed on this is the output. This time I have to output both row and column. If I just try to output row number, I will get an error. I must reference both row and column on output. So when you run it, the output looks like what is shown there, and I have a little example application that does the exact same thing. Here's the code I use to populate the array. Here is the code I use to output the array, and this is the actual output from the array. With me so far? Okay, like this part of it's boot campish. You know, this part of it is not too bad. This is pretty basic stuff at this point. Couple of preferences when you're building a multi-dimensional array, and these might be Curtis preferences, KDL preferences, if you will. I always want to know how many columns I have in my array. I don't really care about how many rows, but I want to know how many columns. 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, 4 columns, good, I know that. I can loop through the number of columns in the array, but it is difficult, it is painful. It is not something I want to do. In fact, I've never found a reason where I had to do that. It's always nice to know the columns of your array. Formatting is a whole lot easier if you do know that. Like I said, I don't care about the numbers of rows in the array because Cold Fusion will tell me how many rows I have in my array when I use the array length command or the tag. Array length of the array name will tell me exactly how many rows I have in there. Thank you for keeping track of that for me. I don't have to do it. I like that. One other preference I have is when you create an array, make it something useful, name it something useful, just calling it the array. What's in the array? I don't know. I see an array named Aerosmith. I'm getting the feeling, hey, it has something to do with a rock and roll band. I'm liking it already. So when you name your arrays, name them something useful. It will make code maintenance much easier as you go along. Okay, structures. Structures are similar to a one-dimensional array, but they are referenced by an alphanumeric text field. It's sometimes referenced as the key-value pair. So in this case, I am going to have a structure named first name. First name.tom happens to equal Hamilton. Tom is the key, Hamilton is the value. First name dot Joe, Joe is the key, Perry is the value. Okay, it's a value, a key value pairing. You can use integers for the key, you can use text for the key, you can use whatever you want to as the key. Point is, you just have to remember what the key name is and you can get the value. You can loop through a structure, but the data that you put in or the sequence you put the data into the structure is not necessarily the same sequence that the data will come out, and I have an example of that here in just a bit. You can think of a structure as a database with two columns in it. One column is the primary key to uniquely identify the second column. The biggest difference between the structure and the single dimensional array is arrays are referenced by numeric text, sequential integers. The array is referenced by sequential integers, and the structure is by whatever you want. Arrays are sorted. First in is number one, second in is number two. Structures are not. Structures are kind of like lookup values. So when I go and populate my array, this is what I do. I create my array, arrow underscore struct. I say struct new. Notice inside the parens, there's not a one and there is not a two. You don't have to reference that. A structure is just a structure, a key value pair. So you just put in your structure name equals struct new. And then you go and populate it. In this case, the first value I'm going to put into my structure is arrow struct bracket tick Tom tick bracket equals tick Hamilton tick. I have to delineate alphanumeric text. I do not have to delineate integers. If I'm using a key that is an integer, I do not have to delineate it. However, I would recommend delineation if you are mixing integer and text as your keys. You can, but I would definitely delineate them.
Do you ever use a date value as an index?
Question is, can I use a date as my key? Yeah, I honestly don't know. I've never tried. I would assume so, because you can pass in dynamic variables in there, and that's just a variable. So I would assume so. You can try it. Worst it will do is blow up. Okay, so remember this, key value pair. In this case, if the key is Stephen, the value is Tyler. So let's take a look at how we loop through this, if we want to go through and see what our output is. This time we're going to use a CF loop command again. Our collection is going to be quotes, pound sign, the name of our array or structure, pound sign, quotes. You must use the pound sign inside the quotes. If you don't use the pound sign, it's thinking that you're just passing in a string, character string. By putting pound signs inside the quotes, it knows you're passing in some sort of item. In this case, we're gonna pass in a structure, and then the item command is what do you want to reference each iteration through the loop by? In this case, I'm gonna call it my name. So as I loop through this thing, my name, by the way, is the key. My name is the key. So as I loop through this, I'm going to output my name, the key, I'm going to put a hyphen, and then I'm going to put in the value. So I have the key on the left side and the value on the right side. And the output may look like this, it may not. We can go find out. Here is my structure, structure new. Here's the order I put it in, Tom, Joe, Brad, Joey, Stephen. Tom, Brad, Joey, Stephen, Joe. Okay. This is the actual code that I used to create that structure, verbatim. Okay, yeah? You know, that's one of the things I can't tell you. I just know that you put it in one order, and if you loop through it, it comes out in another. And I don't know why. I'm sure there's somebody around here that does know why. I'm not him. I'm just not. I know how to use these things, though, so I can get my job done. But I don't got the time to go and figure out why. I'm sure somebody knows. Ben Forda, ask him, I'll bet you he knows off the top of his head. Only thing off the top of my head's hair, so I don't know. Okay, any questions about structures? Okay, I got preferences too. Oh, yeah.
Do they have to be the same type of thing? Could the first element in your structure be a name, the next would be a number?
Yes, the keys can be alpha text, alphanumeric text, or numeric. But if you're... You can mix them up. You can mix up the keys, yes. But if you're going to, I would recommend delineating your numbers. So if you're going to use 2 as a key, tick, 2, tick. And then A for another key, tick, A, tick. That way you're treating 2 as an alphanumeric text. Okay. One of the things I like to do if I have a structure that is a pretty big structure is I like using the cfdump command. Does anybody use cfdump? Better yet, who has not used cfdump? Look it up, use it. It's a very, very handy command. You'll see an example of cfdump here shortly, and you'll see why it's a very nice thing to use. And structures are great for lookup values. For instance, if you want to convert 1 equals Sunday, 2 equals Monday, 3 equals Tuesday, et cetera, you can put that into a structure, and then you can just reference day struct 1, and you can put that out, and that will say Sunday for you. It's great for lookup values. I use that sometimes when I'm doing months or days, just because they're quick and easy, and they're fast. Once again, name your structure something useful. The struct tells you absolutely nothing, nothing at all. So 5 months, 6 months later, when you come back and look at your code and you see this reference to the struct, well, you know it's a structure, but what is it? You'll find in sample code that I have later on that I am very big on naming things something that I can use. Makes code reuse so much easier and code debug so much easier. Okay. Any questions on the single-dimensional array, the multi-dimensional array, or the structure? Oh, absolutely. And that's what I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to put a structure into an array that is inside an array. So yes, you can. Yes, you can. Okay, here's the business challenge I had. This is a real-world example. Like I said, I work for the state of Idaho. I consult for the state of Idaho, I should say. They pay my bills, I pay my taxes, so they can pay me again. Go figure. Don't quite get it. But they had a need to generate reports on an automated basis. So I created this applet that gets ran every single day. Every single day. What it does is it goes out and finds which reports are supposed to be run on each individual day. Is this report supposed to be ran today? Yes or no? Okay, so far so bad, so good. Each report that gets ran has its own set of selection criteria to generate the report. Agency name equals, project manager equals, date range equals, things like that. Each report has its own criteria. Most reports do. When you create a report, you pass in your own criteria to generate the data coming out. One or more user can receive that report. Each user can pass in their own criteria. Each report has criteria, agency name. User A might run that report saying, I want all of Boise State records. The second user will run the same report, but the agency will be, I want to get all Idaho State records. Same report, different criteria. With me so far? Okay, it gets worse. It gets worse. How do I put all that into a container? How do I put that into a structure? You know, that's the problem I had. Here's my schema. I'm big on databases, by the way. I love databases. If you build your database right, your application will work right. I'm going to skip the next few slides and just talk about the schema. These things here are in your slides. I'm just going to leave the schema up here while I talk about them because it's a little easier to look at the picture and reference your slides if you want to. And like I said, this is all online too, so you can pull it down. The users table. The two fields that we're interested in that is the primary key, user count, and the email address. Because when I generate a report, I'm going to save it off as a file, and I'm going to email that file to the user that wants the report. So I have to know what the user's primary key is, user ID or user count, and I have to know what their email address is. User type down here, that's just, user type is, yeah. Right here, that's just something that a business requirement that the state had. You don't have to worry too much about that. Okay, over here I have report names. Now the names of reports, we're starting to get a little more complicated here. The report name is where does this file physically exist? I have a .cfm somewhere out there. Where is it? Report name stores that data for me. Is the report active? Yes or no. If it's not active anymore, then I'm not going to generate that report anymore. date or start date is when do I start running that report? If it's after today, then it will get ran tomorrow and the day after that 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 and the day after that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Report frequency is how often do I run it? Day, week, month, quarterly, yearly. Those are my five choices. How often do I run it? A description of the report, now that's kind of self-explanatory. And then the three email things down below is, I told you already, I'm going to email this report out. So when I send out the email, I want to have a subject line. I want to have the body, you know, this report was generated for you automatically today, yada, 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 that's in there. And I want to know who sends it. So I have a default sender per report. Each report, I already told you, has its own set of parameters, and that's where these are. One report can have one parameter, one report can have 500 parameters. It just depends on each individual report. In this case, most reports have three or four parameters, things like agency name, start date, end date for selection criteria, things like that. Okay, in the middle here, we have report users. Now, these are the users that are going to get the reports. User one over here might be associated with three reports over here. One's ran daily, one's weekly, one's monthly. Okay, that's fine. When that person gets associated to a report, when a user gets associated to a report that's stored here, and their own unique selection criteria gets stored up here under their user params. I have to have a user parameter that matches one of the report parameters. So if I have agency name, for a report over here, then I can use agency name for this user that's getting this report over here. Whew. Boot camp topic, right? Okay, is this making a little bit of sense? I have users that get reports. Reports have selection criteria that is associated to the report. Each user can modify that selection criteria to be whatever they need it to be. Okay? Are we all right with that? Yeah? No, I'm storing, if one of the parameters is agency name for a report one has a parameter that says agency name. User one has Boise State for that agency name. User two has Idaho State for that user or for that agency name. User three might have University of Idaho. User four might have Boise State again. User five might have Idaho State. User six might have Boise State. It's just each time a report is generated, it is customized for the user, passing in the user-specific criteria for the report. Now, the report can only handle certain numbers of criteria, and that's defined over here. Okay? So far, so good? It works pretty good is what it does. It took a few minutes to figure out, but it does work pretty good. Are we okay with this? Kinda? Okay. This one here talks about the users table, talks about the reports table. These are the parameter tables. These are the report to user table and the user parameter tables. So it just goes over basically what I just said and pretty much the same detail that I just talked about it. Okay. So now we get to run the report. It's time to build the array. So we get to run some queries that go out and talk to all of these tables to figure out what is going on. Okay, the first thing I have to do is find out what reports are scheduled to run today. If it's a monthly report and I schedule it to run on the first of every month, I have to go and find that report if today is the 1st of July. If it's scheduled to run every week, I have to find all reports that are scheduled to run on Monday. If it's July or January 1st, I have to find all reports that are scheduled to run on January 1st. And this is how I do it. I go out to that to the report table, and I'm going to be able to bounce back and forth. Here's the same schema. So I'm going to come out to this. I'm going to come out to the report names table, and I'm going to find all reports in here that are scheduled. I'm going to find all reports that are in there whose start date is greater than today and who is active. And that's kind of what this query does. Go out, get daily from my data source. I'm going to find the report name count, the primary key, the name of the report, the subject, the body, the sender, yada, yada, yada. Where the report frequency equals day. It's pretty important. This part here is pretty important. And is active does not equal zero. In other words, it is an active report. And the start date is greater than or equal today, to today. I run a very similar query, and I think I have it here. Nope, hang on a second. I run a very similar query for both weeks and months and years. So here's my get daily query, like I just showed you a second ago. Is that big enough? Yeah, it's pretty close. So here I'm looking where my report frequency is equal today. I take that data and I slap it into an array, and I'm going to go over that in a second here. Then I write another query called get weekly, where my report frequency is set to week, and I'll get to why I do that. But the point is I run four or five queries to get all that data. Okay, so I just ran a query to find all of my reports that are supposed to run daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And I go and I slap them into an array. This is the exact same notation that we used when I wrote Arrowsmith, the two-dimensional array Arrowsmith. Instead of specifying row one, however, I'm passing in a variable. I set my count equal to one. It's just a variable. So when I go through, I start looping through my array, get daily, providing I have records returned by that query. That's always important. If you don't have records, don't loop through it. That's kind of important. Then I set my report array, row one in this case, if it's the first loop through the query, column one, where'd my mouse go? Column one equals report name count. It equals the primary key of the report that's going to be ran. Okay, are you with me? I'm running my query. I'm just finding all of the report information I want, and I'm throwing it into an array. When I put it into the array, I create a multidimensional array right here. I create some sort of counter to keep track of what row I am currently on as I loop through the out. Come on, mouse. As I loop through my output of my query, run the query, put it into an array. Only thing real special about this, something that we haven't talked about yet, is this line down here in purple. Notice that column 6 equals array new. Array new 2. So now I know the first time I loop through my query, and there's a record there, row 1, field 6, now contains a multi-dimensional array. Okay? That's how hard it is to create a second multi-dimensional array. Not too bad.
Don't you end up with a blank array?
At this point in time, we will have a blank array in field 6, yes. At this moment in time, yes. At this moment, yeah, that'll change. The reason I wanted to show you weekly is because when I go through my weekly query, I set a variable, this weekday equals date part W now. In other words, if there's a report that's supposed to run every Monday and this is a Monday, I will be able to find that because I compare my date part of the start date to my current date. So if my start date happens to be a Monday and my current date happens to be a Monday, the report's supposed to run weekly, it gets thrown into this array. I don't know if that's important or not, but that's just something I did. And I put it here because it's in my code, so I thought I should talk about it for a second. Either way, as I loop through the weekly data, also field 6 gets a new multidimensional array created. Every time I create a new row in my report array, I create a new multidimensional array. So if I have 100 records that are going to be ran, I will have 101 multidimensional arrays. I'll have the main multidimensional array that contains 100 multidimensional arrays. Each row has its own multidimensional array. We're starting to get into a little bit of memory right now, okay? Let's see. I already talked about how line 6 creates the second multi-dimensional array. I already talked about how my count keeps track of where you are in that array. And let's go and see how that works. Come over here to my next example. This takes a little bit longer. Oops. This, by the way, is cfdump. If you have not used cfdump, this is it right here. Kind of neat. It goes through and it tells me everything that's in my array. So all I'm doing is I'm dumping my variable, happens to be report array. Okay? It's a pretty simple tag for looking at your structure contents or your array contents. Very simple tag, very useful tag. Okay, so just for notation's sake, field one is the report name, primary key. Field two is the name, field three is the body, the sender of the report, the subject of the report. Field six is a multidimensional array, and you'll notice that right now the array is empty. It's there, it doesn't have anything in it. How do I know it's empty? If I click on it, can you kind of tell that it goes from italics to non-italics? Well, that's how I know that there is no data in this array at this moment in time. The structure is there to support it, however, there's just nothing there. Okay, so far all we have is a multidimensional array with some data in it. With me so far? Wanting to look at the code yourself at some point? Probably. Is that a question? Okay. Now that I know all of the reports that are going to be ran, and in this case I have 1, 2, 3 reports that are going to be ran. This one called auto day report, this one's auto week report, this is auto month report, gee, surprise. This will work today for week and month. Tomorrow it will work for day, but not week and month. Next Thursday it will work for day and week, but it will not work for month. So if you download it, be aware of that the month and the week may or may not work depending on what day it is. But right now we have 3 reports. Now I need to find out who is supposed to get these reports. Because right now, I don't know. I just know that there are 3 reports that are supposed to be generated today. Who's going to get them? So I'm going to go and find out. I'm going to loop through my report array again. And this time, as I loop through it, on each iteration, I am going to run another query. I'm going to run a query that says, okay, for this report here, just a little better. Okay. For this report here, who is supposed to get it? That's what my query is going to be. I already know my 3 reports I'm going to run. Who are the users that are going to get these reports? Like I'm mentioning here, there might be more than one way to solve this particular problem. This is just the method I've used. So if you have a better way, booyah to you. This is just my way. It's a cool way though. Okay, so now I'm going to loop through my array like I mentioned a second ago. I'm going to loop from 1 to array length of report array. I'm going to give it an index of CC. That's going to be my placeholder for what row I am in my array, CC. I'm going to set this variable, my report name count equals report array CC1. I do that because I use report array CC1 elsewhere. It is nice to know what that value means. Report CC1 means absolutely nothing to me. My report name count, I can come over to my schema, my report name count, gee, what might that be? That might be that value right there, huh? So when I look at this 6 months from now, I can say, oh yeah, I know what that is. That's the primary key from the report name table instead of report array CC1 that doesn't tell me jack. Just doesn't. Confuses me, actually. Okay, I am still on my first iteration of my loop, and I run a query. I get all, I forgot. You can't double-click in PowerPoint. Bad do that. Okay, so I go through, and I run a query. I want to find all of my users that are associated to that report, and that's what this query right here does. It just goes, and it finds all of the users associated to the report, where the report name count equals my report name count. Here is where I could have used report array CC1, but I don't want to use report array CC1. And actually, it might be easier if we look at it in the code at this point in time. All the code I'm scrolling past right now, this just sets up the initial report array. That's all that does. Now I'm going to loop through report array. I'm going to set my report name count equal to that particular spot in the array, in this case, current row number, field 1, and then I'm going to run my query and get my users. If I have a user, if this query returns more than one user, yeah?
Question there. On line 102, we have report array CC1.
Right here?
You notice that you didn't close those pound signs?
That's because I'm inside a CF set tag, and you don't need to use pound signs inside all of your tags. It's one of those things that if you don't have to use them, don't use them. Okay, so if I'm in row 1 of my report array iteration, If I have query, oh, go ahead. Yeah, I could. I prefer not to because I know what my report name or my report name count means. So, and you'll see why here. It gets used again later on in a second. Okay, so I'm back in row one of my report array. There are users, so now I'm going to loop through my users query and see what happens there. In this case, if there is a user, I will populate my second multi-dimensional array with a value. And here is how I have to reference it. Current row number, field 6, remember that's where I have my second multi-dimensional array at. Now I have to have another row number inside my second multi-dimensional array. In this case, I call it new count. And if you'll notice, I have new count equals 1 right here. And I am putting that into field 1. Big array, current row number, field 6. Field 6 has the multi-dimensional array. Inside the second multi-dimensional array, I still have to reference things by row and column. So new count references the row. Column is 1. So in my new multi-dimensional array, I have my user count primary key. Are we there? Okay, let's make it a little worse. Let's create a structure in the second field of my second multi-dimensional array. So now I am still in my first row of my report array, field 6. I'm inside my second multi-dimensional array, whatever line number, field 2, and inside field 2 I have a structure. That structure may contain one record or one value. It may contain 25 values. I don't know. I just don't know. I know it contains some number of key value pairs, however. So I got an array that has an array that has a structure. And then I also put in the user's email address into field 3 so I can send them the report once it's generated. So let's say we take a look at what that looks like. I already talked about the cfset command. You know, I like to reference my report array CC stuff. So this is stuff I've already talked about. I've already talked about that we are now adding that. And this here, I've already talked about how we add things to the report array. So that's what this is. It's just a rehash of what I showed you in code. Okay, this is the same thing, a rehash of what I talked about. And this is how I created that second, or that structure inside the second multidimensional array. The thing that you have to look at here is the structure's name. If there are 100 records in there, you could potentially have 1,000 different structure names in there. Because each structure will be named report array, whatever row number, field 6, whatever row number, field 2. Okay? And that's how you have to keep track of it. My count and new count is how I use to keep track of these things here. I like using variables like that, my count, new count. Either way, these two fields here, CC and new count, they are just variables to keep track of your particular place in whatever array you are currently looping through. You have to loop through the main array first and then the subarray second. Okay? So far, so good? New count, the question is, how does new count get its value? New count gets set as I loop through get users. So first time I run through the main array, I run my query and get all my users. The first time as I loop through my users, I reset new count to 1 every time I go to a new line in my main array.
Okay, so it's being defined
within my current loop, which is inside another current loop. No, I use CC over there, right here. I use that one here, where my first loop is here, my second loop is here. And then I just set my new count here. And somewhere down towards the end of this, you will see before the end of the loop, I increment it by 1. Very important that you remember to increment your counter by 1. Very important. If you don't increment your counter, you're just putting stuff into the exact same position, and it just doesn't do much good. Let's see, this is, I don't think I want to show that just yet, do I? Let's go take a look and see if I see where we're at right now. My last example of the sample code takes a few seconds longer to run. And I'm going to close this down right now. Okay. Because we haven't really populated that structure yet, I don't want to talk about it. Okay, so at this moment in time, we are looping through our main array, and that's what this value is. And remember the report count, the name, the body, et cetera. This stuff hasn't changed. Field 6 has a new multidimensional array, and that's what this value or this area is right here. Field 6 has a new multidimensional array. Field 6 sub 1 is the primary key of the user getting the report, in this case 17, 18, 34. Field 2 is a new structure. Okay, that's fine. Field, typo, that should be a 3. Typo. I'm going to have to... I don't like typos. Where was that? 6 sub 1. It was a mistake on my part. I got to fix that real quick. It'll only take a second. It's just finding the right place again. I hate to have notes that aren't right. Isn't that it? No, the address. Okay. Field 3 of the second multidimensional array contains the address of the person getting the report. Okay? So far we've populated our report. We have now found all users that are getting that report, and we've thrown them into a second multidimensional array. And we have created a structure within that second multidimensional array that we now have to go and populate. So as we are looping through our, come back up here. As we are looping through our get users, so we're inside our second loop, we also run a query called get parameters. If you remember way back here, each report has its own set of parameters. Each user has the parameters that they get to set their value to. So right now we have this stuff here, we have this stuff here. We're going to go and get this stuff here and slap it into the structure. That's what this query here does. It goes out and it gets the parameters. And the reason I use my my report name count right here, actually, let's put in a character return. This to me is a whole lot easier to read, especially like right here than what was that somewhere up here. Where did I say? Report array CC1. You know, I haven't looked at this code for 6 months. What would you rather see right here? My report name count or report array CC1? My report name count, I know, is the primary key of the report name table. I can just see that and know that. Report CC1 confuses me. That's why I do that. Okay, so we go and we grab all of our parameters that this individual is going to get associated to when they run this particular report. As we get that, if there are records in there, we loop through our query. So now we are three loops deep. We're at the main loop, we're at the user's loop. Each user has parameters. We are in the third loop, the parameters loop. And as we get that, as we loop through that, we populate our structure. So we set our structure, report array, current row, field 6, current row of our second loop, field 2, equals some key value pair. Key value pair. In this case, the name of the parameter and the user's value. So I have a key value pair. Notice I delineate with quote marks. I think I could have used tick marks there, but I use quote marks. Because my parameter name is probably going to be text. It might not be, but I think it probably will be. Okay? So we got our main array, we're looping through it, we find our users, we loop through it, we find the parameters associated to the users, and we stick it into the structure that's in our second multidimensional array. And this is how it's done. At the end of this loop, I increment my new count by one because I'm going on to my next user. And I continue to loop through all of my users. At the end of that, I close my if statement for if I have get users. And then I go back up and I get my next row in the first array. Okay? So what this one will now look like is this. And all of a sudden, now my structure is populated also. CFdump, by the way, that's the only code I used right here. This is the only code I used to generate all of this stuff here. Ooh, that's a whole lot easier than some of the loops that you have to write. This isn't too bad. I only use this for debug, by the way, because I can't pass parameters like this to anything else, but it tells me what's in my array. It tells me that for report number one, I am going to have three users get the report. These are the users' email addresses, and these are the individual parameters that are going to be used when I generate that report. So for the first time I run that report, these are the parameters. The second time I run the report, these are the parameters. It's the exact same report, just different parameters get passed in, so the data is different, the output is different. And then the third time I run it, it's customized for the third end user also. Pretty slick way of doing it, if you ask me. But it works. It really works, and it works well. Made a lot of friends that day, by the way. Okay. Questions about that? Questions about this code and how I got there from here? This code will be available for download, like I said, many times. So, yeah. I knew I was going to have my reports, and I knew I would have multiple people associated with reports. So I figured that that would be an array within an array. At that level, though, I probably could have just used one big structure, but I chose not to. And part of the reason I chose not to is because I've never wrote one of these before, and I wanted to see how it worked. So I wanted to have a little bit of fun. Like I said, I'm not one of those people that get to delve into Cold Fusion very often, but if somebody's going to pay me to learn how to do something, oh, I'm all for that. It's usually hard to charge people to play. So some of it's just trying to figure out the problem. Some of it is just that's the only way to solve certain problems. So, yeah.
Your daily, monthly, and yearly reports.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you're using the same report layer and structure.
I am.
The count numbers do?
Count number increments every time. Every time I put a new record into that report array, the count number increments. And I probably didn't show you that. But, okay, right here I'm going to loop through my yearly stuff. If I compare date, let's go back up to the very top. First thing I do is, we'll do it for weekly, okay? So if this report is scheduled to run every week, the start date is, or every Monday, the start date in the report, the value right here is set to any Monday before today, okay? So when I go out and I get all those weekly reports that are supposed to run, I compare its day to the current day. If it's a M for Monday, or I think it's a 1 for a Monday, then I know that I have to put it into my array right here. If compare day, which is set to whatever current day today is, in this case it would be what, Thursday, okay? Does that make sense so far, with me so far? Okay, so if today is a Thursday, compare day is a Thursday, and the start date of the report is a Thursday, I put it into this right here. I put it into this array. At the end of the array, after I create my new structure, my new multidimensional structure, I increment my counter. So that way, every time I add a new report, the next time I add a new report, it will be on a new row. Most of the problems you will get when you populate an array is forgetting to increment a counter. How come I only got one row in this? I should have 10. Go and look at your counters. Chances are somewhere along the way you forgot to increment something. Yeah?
Do you have any
I was only using one query, the question is, couldn't I just use the row number of my query? The answer to that is yes, if I'm only using one query. In this case, I'm using four or five. I'm using daily, weekly, and monthly. I'm using four. So in that case, it wouldn't work. Because then, after I did the first query, it would work great. The second query, it would overwrite one. So, but if you're only using one query, yeah, works great. I've done that before. Anything else? Yeah.
So this type of stuff, then you just use table interjoins? Grab all this data for the month?
You might be able to. You might. It won't be as fun. And like I said, there are many ways to do the same thing. This is just one way. I'm not saying it's the best way. I'm not saying it's the only way. But this is the way I implemented it. And, you know, it solved a certain problem. It really did. And it works very well, very reliable. Yeah, if there's no users, I don't worry about looping. If there's no parameters for the user, I don't worry about looping. That's part of it. The other reason I like building it this way, is because I can look at everything in one fell swoop. There it is. Whereas if it's all in one big old string in a return record, then I have to go and check, is null, is empty, is there a space in there, you know, and I have to do a whole bunch more work that way. This way I can just see it. I can just look and see it. Okay? So how many people think this is really a boot camp topic still? I didn't think so, but that's all right. That's all right. Okay. Let's see. This is where we go through the parameters and slap them in or get the parameters. This is how we start adding them to the array. And this is where I close my loops and increment my counters. And this is really what the data in the complex container looks like. This is a snapshot of the stuff. First one's primary key of the report to be ran, the actual name of the report, the text to be included in the email, the address of the person sending the report, the subject of the report, my second multidimensional array. Notice there is no data stored in this particular field. There's no data, there's just another multidimensional array. And in that other multidimensional array, you have to reference line and column. Now, if I would have put in a single dimensional array, I could have just referenced by line. But I put in a multi, so I have line and column. In the first line, I have the primary key of the person getting this particular report. Then I have the structure containing all the key value pairs that are getting passed into the report, and the email address of the person getting the report. This is what's in there. So I can loop through this now, and I can generate a report. Well, how do I loop through this? I got to be able to loop through it, right? I can't just throw it in there and not get it out. I can get it out that way, but it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me a whole lot. Or I can do it like this. I can loop through my first array, and I'm calling that index XX, and then I'm setting my report name equals something here, and all this is doing is setting up a path so my ColdFusion server knows where to go to get the report to be ran. In this case, it's not accurate, but that's okay. Your app/your app/report/some continuing path to get to a .cfm somewhere along the way. And then I loop from one to array length of field 6 in that particular row. I don't know how many rows are going to be in there. I don't really care. I know that it's going to contain a multidimensional array with so many things. And I index it by YY. And then I include this template report name. When I include the template report name, it's aware that there is a multidimensional structure in there, and it knows how to go and get that stuff out. And I think I have an example of that too here. Yep, right here. Now, here's some of the code that I actually use inside the report itself. Here's my loop. Collection, I set this value collection equals report array, current row, field 6, current row, field 2. I'm looping through that structure. And then if a parameter equals something, I set agency count equal to that. A graphical version of that might be something like this. I am looping from one, I'm looping through the array, I'm setting some variable equal to the first record, second field. Then I am looping through the first record, sixth field, and I'm using that index of y. And then I should be including this template, but in reality I'm not, because then I would be generating bazillions of reports. Instead, all I did is I put out report name and the structure as I loop, or at the person's address of who's going to get it, get the report. So this is what my app would look like. This is that variable report name. And this right here is the value contained in the second multidimensional array field 3. And these are the values that are contained in the structure. Okay. The reason that I do this right here, gotcha. The reason I do this right here, this parameter equal agency count, this is specific to the report. When I am populating these tables, right here, I know what parameters I'm passing in there because I'm writing the report. So I fill in this part here as the developer, I fill in the values in this field, I fill in the values in this field, my end user fills in stuff here and here. So they can add a new user to get this report at any point in time they want. They can add a new report, providing they know what the report parameters are anytime they want. So it's really, a lot of the work is offloaded from me. After I create the report, I've created interfaces that allow them to associate users to the report, and the report is aware of what parameters are associated with it, so they can fill in those values. I'm out of the loop, which is great. And this is just one way to go through that structure right here. I keep forgetting, I cannot highlight in PowerPoint. I want to. But this is just one way inside the report that as I'm looping through my structure, I can set some variable equal to that value in the structure. And I do this again for readability. Somewhere along the line, I know I'm going to have to go back and revisit this report, and I don't want to have to figure out what does report array XX6 YY2 param mean. I don't want to know. I do want to know that my agency count is a primary key to a table probably called agency. I can read that and figure that out. So for code readability, I like using these CF tags. Okay, somehow I just got my 5-minute thing. I'll have to wrap up here. So, you know, using arrays and structures and mixing and matching them really is not that difficult. It looks a lot more difficult than it is. It looks a whole lot more difficult. The thing you have to be very careful with is, where are you in your first array? What row are you at? What row are you on your second array? What field are you at? And if you're looping through a structure, you don't really care what row you're at. All you know is you've got a key value pair. You'll dump them out and they will come out in some order that's not controllable by you. I will have the sample application. I will have it downloadable on my website, computerman.com, shortly. But if you look at some of these names over here, you can kind of tell that these are actual people. I don't think it'd be a good idea to disperse that kind of information. That and the data right now is in a SQL server, so I'm going to drop the data down into Microsoft Access. I'm going to dummy up the data, and then I'll put it all into a zip package and upload it. So computerman.com with a K, and you'll see a link on there for presentations, and then you can pick and hunt and choose which presentation you want to download. Questions? Shoot. Yeah, every report that gets automatically generated is unique because I have to make it aware of that multi-dimensional array that contains a multi-dimensional array, that complex structure. It has to be aware of that.
For the daily report,
is this
enough for a weekly
report? Oh, no. If it's the same report that's generated daily, weekly, monthly, all I do is I set it up in this table several different times.
Okay.
The exact same report. That can be the exact same one. Yeah.
Can you talk about structure? If I have a structure and I set a new variable equal to that original structure, how is not really a new variable.
I know duplicate. I've used duplicate, and that's similar to what you're doing. I don't know why it's a pointer and why it's not a real copy. If you want to create a real copy, you pretty much just have to loop through the structure and populate the second structure.
You can use kind of struct.
Or copy struct, yeah. Struct copy or copy struct. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.